not sure why there's a hole punch on the pulpit, maybe to make us all holy, I'm not sure. When Lent comes, we find ourselves in the courtyard with Peter, where we must answer whether we know him or not. Lent is a time to take the time to let the power of our faith story take hold of us. A time to let the events get up and walk around in us. A time to intensify our living unto Christ. A time to hover over the thoughts of our hearts. A time to place our feet in the streets of Jerusalem or Winnipeg, or to walk along the sea and to listen to his word. A time to touch his robe and feel the healing surge through us. A time to ponder and a time to wonder. Lent is a time to allow a fresh, new taste of God. We are one family in the Lord. Today we have come to worship together. Amen.
Please take your hymnals and join us in two songs that celebrate God's goodness. The first one is Great is the Lord from your blue hymnal, and the second one is in your insert, Taste and See. The group will be singing the verses. Please join in the refrain. Please stand.
Great is the Lord and worthy of glory. Great is the Lord and worthy of glory.
think we need an amen for that one. Thank you so much. Well, it is wonderful to be home. I spent a few weeks off visiting my grandson, which was great, but there's no place like home. It's great to see all of you and to be here together this morning. Our intentions are to worship God, to be encouraged for the week ahead of us, but also to embrace each other. We are God's best gift to each other. So this morning, what I'd like to invite you to do, I know you've just been standing a long time, but if your legs will handle it, stand and greet people around you. And if there are people you don't know, introduce yourself and we'll get you to introduce them in a moment. So please stand and greet those around you. And it's okay to walk a little ways. I always love this holy mayhem that happens as we greet each other. It is delightful. So, those of you who are regulars, did you meet anybody that you would like to introduce this morning? Well, if you are new here, welcome here. Welcome to our family and welcome to your church for this morning. I'd like to invite you to take your bulletin. There's a number of announcements we'd like to highlight. Just so that I don't forget, the first one I want to mention is on the back of your bulletin. It says the choir rehearsal on Monday is at 2:30. It is, in fact, at 2 o'clock, so now you have no reason to be late. The other thing I was going to point out in the bulletin is you'll find an insert called Lent and Easter 2017. It gives a bit of a direction as to where we as a church will be going, what we'll be focusing on. Our focus is restore us, O God, longing for God to help us to be the people he has called us to be. A few things, other things to note. Number 3, there's a chat and play for people with children under 5. Please note that. Number 4 talks about a chili event happening here. Jeff Zacharias and the Whites and Vincents and Remples are inviting us all to participate. So look at that closely and we'll see all of you here next Saturday at 5. Note also there are choir rehearsals going on for Easter and Good Friday. Sunday mornings at 9:30 and all of you are invited to participate. Number 7, very important. Unless your objective is to greet people as they leave, please note that it's time change next week. So you need to come early. Early for this week, not for next week. Number 8 is a note about the SMORG that's coming up. There are still openings. Adina, are there still people you need to sign up? Okay. Okay, so we need dessert. I mean, we personally, most of us don't, but the smorg needs desserts. Okay, thanks. And finally, number 9, there's some Lent home devotional booklets that are available in the foyer. Please avail yourselves of those. If you are paper conscious, you can note that you can also find them online. Before we begin sharing, are there any other announcements that need to be highlighted this morning?
Hello. Phil. To say a big thank you to everyone who showed up for the pancake breakfast yesterday. It was a great success. And, we raised $959.40. So someone gave 40 cents. So it was all great and everyone had a wonderful time who was there. So thank you for coming and helping as well.
And thanks to you, Phil, and all the others who helped put that on, and to the boys, to the kids club as a whole. There's a lot of work involved in that too. I'd like to ask if you would have something to share, but I'd like to start by inviting you to look at number 1 in the bulletins. Condolences go out to Anna and Jake Clausen, Linda and Dale Titterton, Chris and Rachel Titterton, Jessica and Jean-Michel Luzeau, and Eric and Janet Peters, an extended family. As I said, goodbye to Mary Gosen-Bestvater and also to the Clausen family in saying goodbye this last week to John Gosen. This has been a difficult time, especially for the Clausen family. This is 4 people from their family in the last 2 months or thereabouts. And so let's make sure that we not only send them a note, which is nice, but give them a hug. I think they probably need it about now. Franz, is there any word on as to when John Gosen's funeral will be? Okay, probably Friday, and will it be here, or the John Gosen's funeral, probably Friday and here. Yes. Oh, thanks, Amy.
It's Leonora Weeb. I was just going to share with my church family that Mary Goosen is the eldest of the Fast cousins. Her mother, my father, and Betty Lowen's father were siblings.
I'm sorry we forgot your name, Leonora. Our thoughts are with you. Is another person wanting the mic here?
My report a week after what I mentioned on Sunday, I did not realize just how far the nursing staff went in purging my body. On Wednesday, all of a sudden, I became aware that 80% of my hearing is back. And my hearing now is at almost 90%. I will not need those hearing things, and I won't have to fork out $4,000 for a hearing aid.
Thanks for sharing that, Hans. Is there anyone else that would like to share? Just before the children's story, I'd like to mention also in terms of worshiping not only with our ears and our ears, but also with our eyes. There's an amazing display put on by the Lowen family in the hall over here. If you have not seen it this morning, you need to see it. It is absolutely amazing. If you look in your bulletin under the list of people involved in the worship service, it mentions that David and Maria Lowen are responsible for the display. Well, the children are, but they are the ones who have made this, and this reflects their life. So please take a look at that. And now it is time for the children. So if the children would like to come up for the children's story, and right after that, there's Sunday school.
You guys can stand, right? We're going to play a game. A game. Well, we'll see. How many of you know how to play Simon Says? Okay, I don't usually get to be Simon, but here we go. Simon says touch your nose. Simon says touch your head. Simon says to rub your belly. Simon says touch your knee. Simon says sit down. Simon says stand up. Simon says touch your nose. Touch your hair. I got some of you. I'm not very good at it. We'll play one more round, okay? Simon says, touch your hair. Touch your ear. I gotcha. Have a seat. Okay, you might be wondering why we're playing Simon Says, but it's just to show you how easy it is to forget the rules and how to do the right thing. So the grown-ups today are going to be hearing about Jesus and when he was in the desert for 40 days. After he was in the desert for 40 days and 40 nights, Satan came to tempt him. And Jesus answered all those temptations with scriptures. So that's what we need to remember. That's why we go to Sunday school, so that we get to know more and more about what Jesus wants us to do, so that when we're tempted to do something we know isn't right, that we'll be strong enough not to do it. Okay. I forgot something today. I was so excited about the game. So we'll pray after. But right now, I want to announce that next Saturday, we're eating chili in church. And I have heard, because I have my ear to the ground and teachers know everything, I have heard that some people are saying, I don't know how to cook chili, so I can't go to that evening. And I want you to tell your moms and dads that this is the perfect time to come to church. Because all of you, I'm sure, have sat down for dinner and mom has worked really hard, or dad, really hard at making a dinner, and then you say, I don't like it. And what does your mom say? Eat it anyway. The mom in my house, she says, it doesn't matter. I don't want to hear what you have to say. You just eat it. But on Saturday, we're actually asking you to tell us what you think about what we've cooked. So if you are not a cook, please phone Jeff and he can come up with, maybe you could bring some dessert or some bread or some salad if you don't want to make chili. But we really would like to see all of you and all of your families and your omas and opas and aunts and uncles all coming and eating chili and playing game and having fun. Okay? Okay. Now back to praying. Can you bow your prayer heads for prayer? Dear Father, help us to do what Jesus did. Help us to do what the Bible tells us to do instead of listening to what Satan wants us to do. Amen. And you guys can go back to Sunday school.
Lent is a time when we do spring cleaning of the soul. And so to help us in that process, each Sunday we'll be having a time of confession and assurance. I'd like to invite you to turn to that in your bulletins. You'll find it on, if you open your bulletins, it's on the right-hand side at the bottom. And you have two words to say, but they are important ones. So please follow along. God of abundance, you give us all we need. We confess that too often we focus on what we don't have. We forget that it is you who sustains us. Forgive us. Satisfy us with your steadfast love and help us to take refuge in remembering that you provide, what you provide is good. It is enough. God of abundance, restore us. And then we respond. Rejoice in the Lord and be glad. Sing praises to the Lord. Taste and see that the Lord is good.
Please join us in singing the theme song for Lent, You Are All We Have. The group will sing it through once, and then we'll ask you to sing it through another two times.
Now is a time when we as a people come before God. Would you bow, please? God, as we open the creaky door to the basement of our lives to analyze our intentions and motivation, while we may be surprised because we have hidden things from ourselves, we discover that you are there. We also discover that you come not in judgment or to belittle us, but with grace and mercy. At the beginning of Lent, we look ahead to where the story goes, and we see you in Good Friday and in Easter. And you fill us with hope. For you have called us to be your children, your daughters and sons, to follow in the footsteps of Jesus. And when we make mistakes, you forgive and empower us through your Holy Spirit to be the people you have called us to be. As we come into your presence, God, even in this basement, we recognize that things are different than we thought. We see the world differently. We see the world through eyes of hope, even when difficult and painful things come our way. And as we walk through them, we look and we see that it is not that you're reaching down to us, but that, in fact, you walk with us through the hard times. You are there. We are grateful. Thank you for the hope that you place within us when others would give up. We look around, God, as your people, and we recognize that many in our midst are going through difficult times. Times in their family when all is not as we wish it were. Times when we look at children moving away or perhaps making decisions that we wouldn't have made. Times when families are saying goodbye to people that they love dearly. Times when people in the autumn of life land up in care homes, as wonderful as they are, still a sense that things are not as they once were, and we ask that you would help them to feel your presence there in a very real and meaningful way as well. We look at our wider world, and there is much in the news that makes us perplexed and perhaps even angry as we see the way that people in power make decisions that are not helpful for the people that they are responsible for. Oh God, we know that you are still there, that you are still in charge. And so we ask that you would help us to be motivated to respond to the brokenness around us, whatever that might be, knowing that you move people to respond to all the situations that are there. So help us to continue in the midst of all of this, in our life, in our church, in our world, to see your hand and to see your invitation for us to step up as your representatives, as your children, and respond. Fill us with the mercy and grace that that you have shown us.
For our memorial hymn, please turn to number 581 in the hymnal. We'll sing verse 1 in German and 3 in English. Please stand. The passage that Franz will be addressing is Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 to 11. I'd like to read that for you this morning. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God."
Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Jesus answered him, it is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. Again the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. All this I give you, he said, if you will bow down and worship me. Jesus said, away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Then the devil left him, and the angels came and attended him. The word of the Lord.
Tells him. Sometimes I wonder if it would be all right if we skipped the sermon and just listened to the song. We are in the Lenten season, a time, as it said in the call to worship, a time to wonder and to ponder, to think about. It's a time to prepare and reflect in our life. Some people give things up in this season. Other people practice special disciplines. All of those things are good, and they are partial, as today's sermon is only partial of the whole Lenten season. As one Sunday comes after another, and as one speaker after another will reflect on the messages, think of it as a whole, while today is only one small portion. Now, take the story of temptation. And it may surprise you the forms that temptation takes. After Jesus has fasted and is very hungry, the devil does not present a slice of chocolate cake, or offer piles of money, or volunteer to arrange a one-night stand, or something like that. The devil is not working from a view of sin like that of our society. So we might want to examine our perception of what sin is. He doesn't concern himself with simply illicit things, ill-gotten gain, or excessive tasty calories. What the devil does do is to fly below the radar of conventional morality, and he presents a series of temptations that can very effectively cripple all our relationships at their core. Relationship with the creation, relationship with God, and with the people. These temptations are not concerned with simply loaves made from stones, or jumping from high, tall structures, or a chance of world domination. They are concerned with what for us seems closer to home. Such matters as what we can do and who we are. Matters of skill, of trust, and of power. Here all of us have the opportunity to wreck our lives or to allow our lives to become what they ought to be, vehicles of grace. It's your choice. So as we go into this Lenten season, reflect on that. What choices do we make? Consider the first temptation, bread from stones. The one that has to do with skill, what you can do, what you can make. Jesus has been fasting a very long time, and he is very hungry, and the devil, never want to miss a chance, appears and challenges him to prove that he is, that the voice of God has said that he is. Remember, this story follows directly after the baptism of Jesus. And at the baptism, the voice of God said, "This is my beloved Son." Okay? Now, that whole identity, being the Son of God, is being questioned. If you are the Son of God, prove it. You know, it reminds me of the playground and schoolyards and so forth, when people said, "I dare you." Or when somebody says, "Prove it." Isn't your initial and immediate response to just do just that? You know, we react directly to the challenge. And we don't always think before we react. So I said, this is a time to ponder. Ponder why you act, and for what reason, and on what basis. So who are you, Jesus? And Jesus answers that proposal or that temptation with words from Scripture. He says, it is written, man does not live by bread alone, but by the word of God. So, does he prove that he is the Son of God? Yes, he does. It is more a confrontation about whether Jesus gets it. This temptation is more than the question if Jesus gets lunch that day. He is asserting his identity, namely the identity as the Son of God. And when we live and when we act, we need to affirm our identity. And what is it? You are God's children, right? You're God's children. That's our identity. Now, I don't know how many of you remember Aldister Enns from First Mennonite Church. He was one of the revered figures in the history of that church. And years ago, his oldest son, Ernie, who has died some years ago, he told me, you know, Dad always put a guilt trip on us. I said, well, how did he do that? He said, every time we left the house to go somewhere and do something, he would always let us go with these words, remember who you are. He wouldn't say, don't do this and don't do that, don't drink too much or smoke too much or dance too wildly. No, he wouldn't say any of those things. He would just say this one sentence. Remember who you are. And he said, you wouldn't believe the pressure that put us under. Because every time we did something or wanted to do something, we thought, is that in harmony with who we are? But that is a question, isn't it? Do we live in accordance with who are we? And if you have answered that question for yourself, that you are a child of God, then remember who you are. That can be, as Ernie put it, put a load of pressure on you, but it can also be very, very liberating when you doubt yourself. When you have forgotten who you are. When you think that God has forgotten that you are at all. Just last week, somebody said to me, I am empty. I have nothing to give. I don't want anything to take. I don't know why I'm still alive. And this person is my age. Actually a little younger. And I thought, how sad. And all I could think of saying was, but you are God's child. I hope you find comfort in that and courage to face a new day. When Jesus is tempted to turn bread into stones, it's skill. It is a skill that is supposed to be used to his own benefit. And Jesus quotes Scripture and says, hold it. Man does not live by bread alone, but by the word of God. So if he is God's son, he listens to God. If we are God's children, then we too should listen to God. The German has a very nice turn of word that I don't know how to say in English. Listen and obeying in English sound very different. But for those of you who know German, let me say it in German. Horchen und gehorchen. Right? It's the same word. Gehorchen means to obey. Horchen means to listen. You listen and you obey. And it's related. Because if you don't listen the right way, you won't obey. You may hear the words, but you don't heed them. Right? That's how couples, I'm told, sometimes communicate. We hear what our spouses say. We just don't heed the words. Oh, sorry. Who do we listen to as we go into the Lenten season? Ask yourself. Who are you listening to? Because when you listen carefully, God will speak to you. Yes, we have skill and we have technique, but these must be subordinated to the gracious purposes that God makes known to us. Just because we are capable of doing certain things, just because we have the technique or the knowledge, doesn't mean it should be done. Certain choices, though possible, contradict what God wants from us. And they are not consistent with us being God's children. So, two questions for you to consider. For all of us, actually. One is, do I look upon myself or others simply in terms of doing and having? Or do I recognize myself and others for who we are, God's children? How do you see yourself and your fellow human being, your fellow member here at North Cologne Mennonite Church, your family members? And the other question is, do I view my skills and opportunities as simply mine to use how I see fit? Or do I treat them as entrusted to me for use in accord with God's intention? Remember who you are. Consider the second temptation, jumping off a tall structure. That one has to do with trust, right? The devil takes him to Jerusalem, takes him high up for the pinnacle of the temple and say, it says in Scripture, remember what it says in the Bible. He will put his angels in charge of you, and they will carry you on their hands and bear you up so that you won't dash your foot against the stone. Oh, the devil knows Scripture, doesn't he? So the first thing I learn out of that is, just because somebody quotes Scripture at you, don't assume that is God-given truth. You might want to test that as well. But beyond that, Jesus counters this temptation, laced with Scripture's quotes as it is, with his own answer from the Bible, and he says, and again it is written, you shall not test the Lord your God. Now, if you go out and say, I am in God's care and he will take care of me, and then things happen in your life that are not nice, that are painful and hurtful, and things happen in your life that take away your control that you had, and things happen in your life that make you despair, then you might say, but, isn't God supposed to take care of me? A little child might expect the parents to protect it from all danger, but even then you have to scream and yell sometimes for them to listen, right? But is God taking care of us if we behave stupidly? No. It's our responsibility. If I jump off and break my legs, it is because that's a law of nature. And I cannot blame God for it. And as I live my life, I must learn to say, you shall not tempt God or test God. Because every time you'll get the short end of the stick. Doesn't work. You can quote scripture. And I've heard so many scriptural quotations in my life. Every time somebody hears that you're a preacher, they have something spiritual to say. And sometimes I feel like this little kid in Sunday school. Sunday school teacher wants to loosen up a bit, you know, the kids. And says, hey kids, have a question for you. What is small, soft, and, you know, really cuddly, and has a bushy tail? And little Charlie says, well, I say it's a squirrel, but since this is Sunday school, it must be the baby Jesus. Sometimes we place things in the wrong context, okay? When the devil quotes scripture at you, the tempter, don't listen to it. Ask where it comes from. Ask where it leads. Jesus counters this temptation and says, do not test the Lord your God. For the scripture may be known, but do they know its spirit? So, trusting God does not mean that God will enable our stupid behavior. What it does mean is that we accept the life God offers us with its challenges, its risks, its disappointments, and its pain, and its joys. It means living our lives and trusting God to make sense of it. For Jesus, this means that he comes to accept the cup of suffering God offers him in the Garden of Gethsemane, a cup that he would readily refuse, except that he trusts the one who offers it to him. As children of God, it is not sufficient for us simply to trust God. We must trust God in the right way. We cannot expect God to endorse the products of our egotism as though the Holy One were a cosmic enabler. Because that puts us in the center of the action and is the original sin, wanting to be like God. We decide. Not all risks are good ones. Some are ill-advised and destructive. Others are offered to lead us into the future God intends for us, a future marked by blessing. So, again, a couple of questions for us to think about. Do I trust God only about my own wants and plans? Or do I trust even when God invites me to risk in a way that seems strange to me and counterintuitive? And second, is some hardship in my life a cup offered to me by God, or a leap I have taken off a tall structure? We come now to the third temptation, and Jesus experienced out in the wilderness, a chance for world domination, the one that has to do with power. Now, sometimes in my daydreams, I wished I had power to change this and that. You know, if I could change circumstances or change people, it would even be greater. They would all be nice and they would behave and, you know, all those things. Wow, what a power that will be. And of course, I know it's a pipe dream. No good for anything. But whatever the reason, Jesus does not contest Satan's claim of control over all the kingdoms of this world. What he attacks instead is the propriety of treating Satan as the ultimate. God alone is worthy of worship. Get behind me, Satan. You shall worship the Lord your God, and you shall serve him only. Just as he does not condemn technique or all trust when addressing earlier temptations, so here Jesus does not condemn all power. What he insists on is that the power, like technique or trust, must be subordinated to the purposes of God. Power sought and obtained for its own sake, power purchased at any price, amounts to devil worship. Think about that. Power must be used instead in obedience to God, in service to his benevolent purposes for this world, for we are his agents. Each one of us exercises some power in life, some more, some less. Some may dream about having a lot more power than we have. That's fine. Some of us may appropriately seek to extend and expand our power, perhaps through our work or some form of community involvement. By exercising any form of power, we end up serving someone, perhaps ourselves, to create the world in our image. Perhaps somebody else whom we care for. We always serve somebody. The choice of whom we serve is indeed a moral and a spiritual matter, and that is of the greatest consequence. So who are you, and how do you use your power? What do you do with it? Two more questions. What are the places in my life where I exercise power? Ask yourself, because each one of you does. And then, do I worship the Lord God alone through my use of power, or do I worship something else? Skill, trust, and power. These themes appear in the story of Jesus not only during his wilderness temptation, but at other times as well. He refuses to turn stones into bread at the devil's suggestions. On several occasions, however, he multiplies bread when many are hungry and people give up their meal in order to help each other. Jesus refuses to jump off the top of the temple to prove that he is the Son of God, but he does accept that cup that's of suffering that God offers him. And he does so because he trusts in God. Jesus turns down the devil's bargain of gaining all the world in exchange of worship for someone less than God. What Jesus does is announce the kingdom of heaven come to earth, and then die and rise, so we may enter into that kingdom. Jesus makes it possible for us to decide about what we can do, our skill, and whom we trust, and our power, in a way that acknowledges his triumph. We are free to find our identity through our participation in him as children of God, heirs of the kingdom of grace. Yes, Jesus refused to turn stones into bread, but he turns bread into himself at every time we celebrate communion. We are here in the beginning of the Lenten season. And on Good Friday, that's the end of the Lenten season, we will celebrate communion. And there we will partake in Him. We're here to share that meal as we trust in God and enjoy a taste of His kingdom. May the beginning of this Lenten season set you on the right way. And may it be so that we experience God in our life and have our identity affirmed. For you are God's children. Amen.
Please join us in singing our response at number 472. We will sing verse 1 and 5.
You to stand for the benediction and stay standing for the last song, please. Assured that God who loves you will sustain you, go from this place free to love, free to trust, free to serve. And now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn His face toward you and give you peace.
Let's sing two verses of For God So Loved Us, God Is Die Liebe, 167, if you need the book, one in German and one in English. This hymn kind of sums up the Lent service.